This is Late Night with Burst, basically just an opportunity to hang out with us. We just all sat down and watched A Knight's Tale, or most of the Burst team did, and so we're here to just kind of chat about that now. I am Allison, and I'm joined here by Sarah.
Hello.
And Ben.
Hi, guys.
And the lovely Kieran.
Hello.
So, what did you guys think? I know, let's start with Ben, because you haven't seen it before. This was your first time.
It was my first time, yeah. It was nice to see. It was rather nostalgic, because I've always been told about this film as well, and got totally the wrong end of the stick. I was telling Liana and Sarah beforehand that I thought he travelled back in time. That was the premise I thought that happened in A Knight's Tale. Got that absolutely wrong. Because, little bit of a story here. We all moved out to the Canary Islands. My dad basically dumped his family over there and then came back to the UK for business. Essentially, it was just like my mother and little brother who were living out there. And every night, or like every other night, they used to put on A Knight's Tale. Little brother used to curl up next to my mum in her bed and we used to watch it together, and it was like their little moment together.
Aww.
So when I told her we'd be watching this, she brought this all up and she was like, keep your eye open for the Nike bit, for the Nike bit. That was her favourite moment. And also when it came about as well, slightly anticlimactic.
Yeah.
It built up for about 10 years in my head. I was like, oh, that was pretty rubbish, but still.
Well, it is interesting because you're like, oh, it's a Nike symbol, but all right. Anyways, Sarah, Kieran, what were your thoughts?
Well, I hadn't seen it before either.
Oh, you hadn't?
No.
Thought you had. Okay, well, there we go.
So, yeah. I mean, first of all, anything with Heath Ledger in it is bound to be good.
Yeah.
yeah, I really got into it. I was, yeah, by the end I was all, you know, tense. I mean, you can kind of guess that everything's going to work out well.
Yeah.
But you
spoiler alert.
Oh.
Oh, I'm kidding.
No, that's not
because
that
movies never end well, you know.
No.
But yeah, I still got, you know, like that little thing that says, but what if it doesn't?
Yeah.
What if there's just that awful moment?
There's a lot of like heartfelt moments towards the end too. Like I teared up a little bit. Mm. I'd forgotten about this because it's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Kieran, what did you think?
I remember the first time I saw it, if I'm twitchy, go from that. I remember being about 10 years old and my nan taking me and my sister to sort of a rubbishy little cinema just up about the next town along from where I lived. And I remember thinking it was fantastic there whilst like gnawing on Toblerone sort of thing. I was a cute 10-year-old. Watching it for the second time when I'm 25, I think I love it even more. I think it's a fantastically funny film. The crossover between, I know we're saying this whilst it was on, the crossover between the fact that it is a medieval story of the 13th, 14th centuries, yet with a 21st century flavour in it, is fantastic, with some of the music and some of the language and the attitudes, and definitely the dresses as well. I think it's a very enjoyable film, definitely extremely funny. Heath Ledger, I haven't seen him much else apart from 10 Things I Hate About You and The Dark Knight, of course, of the Joker, which he won the Oscar for. Do you remember in the first week of uni, Ben, I'm going to turn to, hello.
Hi.
When I described you as Heath Ledger out of 10 Things I Hate About You with the hair.
Oh, I do like that film.
I'm not sure if I don't know if I actually said this to your face, actually, so this might be hugely embarrassing.
No, it's not, but it doesn't come as a surprise. I have a face that looks like many other people's as well. I get told, I reckon I've been told I look like about 20 to 30 different people, so yeah, we'll throw Heath Ledger
in
there too.
Yes, anyway.
That's
a good one, though, to be honest with you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very happy with that.
If you dyed your hair blonde, there'd definitely be a resemblance.
Yeah, well,
if or when?
Wow.
Oh, when? There we go.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about shaving my head the other day, and I was thinking that's something we could do like live as well. But a slight tangent there. But then I thought, had a good hair day the next day, and I'm keeping it, but still, it might happen.
I've actually just gone through that. Like, the last time I went home, I went and I got my hair done, whatever, and I was kind of set on, okay, I'm going to get it cut to a certain length, and it's going to be different than what I've been doing. Because I used to be really bad about not being able to keep the same hairstyle or, like, color. And so I'd go a couple months and then I'd be like, I'm going to do something totally different. So I've actually had the same hairstyle for, like, a while now, which has been surprising. But I had a moment the other day when we were doing our photos where I was like, no, I like my hair. I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
So
it was
one of those where I was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't cut it.
I got my hair cut last Thursday, so it's a couple of weeks back now, And they, when I said I just want an inch and a half off all round, they went, nah. I went, sorry? No. There's no style in that. Oh, well, I guess I'll be having a new style then. And now I've got like this really short back and side style thing. But if,
it does look nice.
No, they've done you a massive favour, my friend. It's a huge improvement. Not saying that your hair before is anything bad. But like, no, you know when people get a haircut and sometimes it suits them and sometimes it doesn't. I walked in, I looked at Kira, yeah, and I was like, okay, well, brilliant. You got a haircut that really suits. I'm kind of envious, you
it
know?
It is very clean cut.
Mm.
Thank you. Nice.
Thank you.
Very handsome over here.
No, but what you're saying with they're having like different moments where it was like a lot of 80s music, which was nice.
Mm.
And then I did feel like Jocelyn, the main female character's dresses, were very much kind of their way of spicing things up a bit.
It was about as revealing as you could be, potentially, with a PG rating on a film.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's in any way sordid or saucy. It's just a nice style of presenting someone in a family film. Mm.
She was very 90s. Like, she had wild hair. She put colour in it. She put this... it looked like those things that were really popular around that time that you used to, like, put around your hair that had, like, different colours. And I use this for dance where they'd like spike out of your bun and.
Does anyone remember the band Rasmus?
Yes.
Who did that?
Yep.
But they sung it in tune. In the Shadows, I think it was. Yeah, she had hair like that with like the feathers in the.
My sister used to hate them. She couldn't stand that song particularly. Every time it came on the music channels, she would like scream and run out of the room.
I bought the CD single.
I have it somewhere on CD as well. It's like a Guitar Heroes compilation, which is a bit odd, but yeah.
But yeah, the bleating his hair was Jocelyn in Night's Tale, just sort of like the spikes and the craziness. Yeah,
you never knew what to expect. It was a bit like how I felt Padme was in a lot of the Star Wars films. Like, she always had the craziest outfits and hair.
Right.
And, it was interesting.
At one point in the film, I did say, is that Natalie Portman? And it wasn't.
Susan Sossaman.
Oh, well done. And she's from Hawaii as well.
She is from Hawaii. Mm. She has beautiful complexion.
We did our research.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Can I say how good it was to watch a film with you guys, and the fact that we could just every so often throw out a really nice, oh, or a, ooh, and then just a really sarky comment.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I did enjoy it.
It was really
fun to do.
And on top of that as well, we came through strong with the treats. So the popcorns and the chocolate was fine as well. It was very good.
Three different types of popcorn going round.
Mm. It was very lush.
Oreos, chocolate egg.
Yeah,
I hadn't noticed it. That's what you were bringing to the table. Great stuff.
Unfortunately, it got squashed in my bag on the way through, but it actually turned out to be a bit of a result because then it was easy to share out.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to do the crushing myself.
You pre-crushed it.
Pre-crushed
egg. The only time that's good is when it's chocolate.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a regular egg.
It's never
not
good.
So
no,
much.
Certainly not.
This omelette has an awful lot of shell in it, doesn't it?
There was something we were talking about throughout that film, saying, like, how does this get away with being a PG? There were a few kind of, like, I don't know, a little bit more edgy moments.
Yeah.
And especially like about 10 minutes in or something, it was kind of irrelevant for the scene, but they turn round and some guy's hanging dead just from whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit like, woo, okay, this is for kids.
And then towards the end, the guy, you know, with the finger.
Yeah. And then Paul Bellamy scene where he's just like naked.
He's just walking
through.
They
don't show anything, but they do show his butt. So that's...
Well, they show enough to amuse a family audience and for a parent to go, Paul Bettany naked?
Yeah.
Don't see that in Angels and Demons, do you?
No.
And did anyone actually pick up, you know, he's supposed to be Chaucer, yeah? So Chaucer's like a...
I never picked that up when I was a kid and I watched this.
Of course.
And then when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's legit.
I was wondering, like, does he actually quote any of his literature that he's previously written? Like, were there a few of those references in there, or...
It's a very meta thing. I never picked up on it, but I'm not really a Chaucer.
Yeah, I was about to say, has anyone got that level of education going on right now?
I think at the end, when he talks about his writing, I think that is a reference to it.
Yeah.
No, I never really... but yeah, a lot like the swearing is a couple of big, you know, A-list swear words we're looking at the start.
A-list swear words.
Oh, A-list. You're looking at your S's and your F's. And
I swear I heard that, but like my brain was kind of like processing, saying, no, you're watching a PG. That wasn't a swear word. Were they swearing in that?
Very start of film where he's beating up the formerly alive jouster, shall we say, yeah. battler. Mm. Yeah, there's a slight augmented version of an S and then an F. Very
of course,
quietly in the
there
background.
Was an E on the end of that. I remember yes. indeed.
Yeah.
And the guy with the great hair, the very bright orange hair. I don't even want to call it ginger. It was better than ginger. It was flaming orange.
Alan Tudyk's character.
Indeed. Yeah. Before he was saying like pain at the beginning of the whole pain speech, the first pain speech. I swear he like threw in a swear word as well. He said
quite
something.
Possible.
Could
possible.
Be. Yeah.
Something like that. But maybe it was one of them like kind of like just slightly
it was
variations of one.
It was one of my family's, like as a family, one of our favorite films. And we never bought it, surprisingly, but we'd rent it a lot. Mm. And now it's like watching it again as an adult. I'm like, oh, I can see some of the appreciation. There's definitely some innuendos in there. And yeah.
Easily the best penny I've ever spent on Amazon.
Is yeah. How much yeah. it was?
A penny and £1.26 or seven postage and
packaging. For shipping.
Yeah. but easily, I think we, if you put that per head, we're looking at around 25.4p per head for £1.27 of the entertainment. The popcorn costs more than the darn
That's
film.
True. That's
so,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, great.
Would you say, I know we had this discussion while it was on, but would you say it became a classic before its time because Heath Ledger is in it?
I probably would have argued that it didn't need Heath Ledger's sad passing for it to be a classic. It should have been up with the likes of Ferris Bueller and Back to the Future and Mars Attacks. Oh, you know, the real classics, Mars Attacks.
But those are all like those are all 80s films. This was made later.
Mars Attacks is a bit later as well.
That's
true. But if you look at the films of the time, you look at the first Lord of the Rings and the second Star Wars, and I can't see a reason why it shouldn't take up a classic sort of subtitle. But maybe it does need time for it to be appreciated like that. And maybe it hasn't got the audience yet to appreciate it as a classic. In 10 years' time, we might look back and go, Night's Tale, that's a classic. Whereas now we're looking back and going, your Ferris Bueller's, your Groundhog Day's, there are classics at the moment, I'd assume. So maybe it's just, it needs a bit of time. It will be.
See, and I feel it already is a classic. Hmm. I feel when you hear it thrown out there, you're like, oh, A Knight's Tale. Hmm. But I think a lot of that does have to do, because I think most of the time it does take time. Like any of the second half Star Wars films, I wouldn't consider classics no. yet. It's only the cult of Star Wars that makes them a big deal.
Hmm. To be a classic in this generation, you either have to have won many, many awards or be one of the biggest grossing films of our time.
Yeah.
If they're neither of those and they're just an enjoyable film, they won't be made a classic for another 10 years or so in many people's eyes, I assume. So if you think of, let's think of classic films of the last 15 years, I would put probably
Mean Girls.
That's another one. Mean Girls will be another one, absolutely.
Wow, you weren't expecting that to be greeted with sincerity, were you? You threw it out as a joke, and you was like, yeah, for sure.
No, I wasn't, because almost anywhere you go, and I'd say Napoleon Dynamite as well,
yep.
because almost anywhere you go, you can throw quotes from those films, and
Thank
someone out there will pick up on it and get it. I mean, it's like you can go on Wednesday, so we wear pink, and people are going to be like, oh. Yeah, Mean Girls.
Not me. I don't know what you're talking about with that, but I will do next week. Huh?
Yeah.
There you
well,
go.
Not
be
next
educated.
Week.
Oh, well,
the
next time.
Movie night. It'll Sorry, probably be like
excited.
Next month-ish, but yeah.
Your Anchorman's, your Mean Girls, I'd say The Wedding Singer is one for me as well.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Those are Adam Sandler films, but they're peak Adam Sandler films as opposed to his later output. I'd also put into that category possibly The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Galaxy Quest as well. I love Galaxy Quest with Tim Allen. And Sigourney Weaver. I think that's definitely a classic as well. But maybe it's just time.
Yeah.
For that one.
Also think as well, when it comes to, like you said, with him dying, is it going to kind of like speed up the whole process of this film being considered a classic? Well, like, it was kind of like a very easy gig for him to act, wasn't it? It wasn't like too strenuous in that sense. Like, he really got considered as a high quality actor towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
And with this one, it was just a little bit more of a novel.
I used to think that until I rewatched it, and I could really appreciate it, because he was only 21 at the time, which I didn't know. Yeah. That was something that you asked, and so we looked up.
He looks so young.
He looks older than 21, though.
Yeah.
Like, I have to say, because, well, I don't know, maybe Sarah and I can talk about this more. But for me, guys don't reach, like, a real peak of attractiveness until they're like close to their 30s.
Yeah,
or
I would
in
agree.
Their 30s. Like a lot of actors.
How did I know this there? Is going to happen?
Too late.
you're over the hill.
Exactly that. Yeah. We need a 28-year-old here.
When you're like
3 years away, mate.
Most
3 years.
Actors, when they like some of them, like you look at like Patrick Dempsey when he was in his 20s, he was just a goofy looking kid. But then he started reaching his 30s, and all of a sudden people saying, "Oh, he's attractive. He's this." And then he got cast in Grey's Anatomy, and he's McDreamy, and whatever. So I don't know. I feel like that's a thing. So Heath Ledger was pretty fine in this film, in my opinion. To see that he's only 21, I was like, "Oh,
yeah,
there you go."
I think people like George Clooney only get better with age. Maybe he's just past that peak, maybe for him as well, with his roles in Up in the Air, maybe Welcome to Collingwood as well, with Descendants. But
yeah, exactly.
Tom, I know this is going to be a completely different tangent, but Tom Jones.
That's the point of this. Just hanging out.
Hey, Tom Jones just turned 75. I don't think he's ever been more attractive than he is now. I've said this a few times, and I don't understand why people laugh, because I think Tom Jones right now, for his age, when he was 25, you just wanted to punch him. When he was about 16, he did that Reload album with the awful woman from Catatonia who ruined that Talking Heads song and all
Karis,
that.
Karis
Matthews.
There you go.
He looked like a greasy, sweaty old man. He looked like something they parody in a Ricky Gervais film.
He doesn't look like that now.
Well, but he stopped dyeing his hair, which helped.
That helped
him look less weird.
He's crafted. He's made his goatee up a bit. He's broadened up a bit. Yeah, something Keith Ledger again. Possibly that was true with him, as it is with Tom Jones. To be honest, I don't know if I've answered my own question there, but we'll run
I can, from my own examples. Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
Obviously, originally famous for his comedy roles, and not somebody that a lot of people would have thought of as being, you know, a heartthrob until House.
Mm. Yeah.
And that was when he was older.
Yeah.
And suddenly everyone went, oh, including myself.
Yeah.
So.
I've quite a few. But yeah, it's that 30s age, like maybe like 27 to sometimes in their 40s, sometimes. After the 30s years, it just goes downhill for them. Some, like George Clooney, they get better with age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some have a short peak, and it's just kind of like, oh, that was it.
I'll turn the tables around a tiny bit here. When I look at Ben and I, is it true of any female actresses or singers? Or,
yeah, what's... I feel like in movies, they cast 20s. So that's... And then they pair them with these older men. Sometimes it works, sometimes I feel like it's too much of an age gap.
We saw it in Spectre.
Was just gross.
Yeah, mid to late 40s Daniel Craig with
mid-20s, probably.
Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah.
There are some gorgeous, like, 40-year-old women. I love Kate Beckinsale. I think she's absolutely stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Isla Fisher as well, who's Ali G, Borat, Mrs. Sacha Baron Cohen's wife as well. Just stunning, stunning woman.
How old is she, though?
She's probably... No, she was in, like, Home and Away. She's probably in 30s, like, early 40s.
Yeah, she is gorgeous.
Yeah. She's an absolute crack. So there's definitely a few.
I'm throwing a curveball in, and you're going to give me the same reaction as Tom Jones, but I think Davina McCall.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm quite a fan of hers, yeah.
You're the first people ever to sort of give me... Yeah, that's all right.
McCall!
Pointing
I'm not
and laughing at me
it.
Time. But yeah, Davina McCall.
She takes good care of herself.
Yeah.
I like new Davina. Too. What's it? Emma. Emma something.
Oh, Emma... Matt Willis's
wife. Yeah, pretty
from
Emma.
Busted, yeah. Emma Willis.
There we go.
Got there.
Yeah.
She's rather lovely too, but she's younger. She doesn't fit into the category.
Early 30s, late 20s, yeah. Infos, so
we can include her.
I don't see why not, because you're talking about people who look more attractive with age, and yeah, it's a good 10 years since she started her fame.
There you go. She's
one
beautiful.
Person who I don't think that works with, I don't really want to call
Madonna.
Someone out as being, well, you there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, absolutely. That's, I'm glad that it's not just me. Yeah, Madonna.
Yeah.
It's more her attitude. Yeah.
Oh,
the way she carries on. It's a bit.
I don't know, though. Her face has aged quite a bit.
Yeah.
And for some women that works, because some women I see like lines in their face, but they're still attractive.
Madonna had it well when she did Ray of Light about 1999-2000. She had it set there. Now I feel as if she's gone too far towards the hey, I can be cool and sexy. let's sign a contract with my leg on the table sort of thing. I'm not in for that. No.
I feel like J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, has gotten better with age.
That's a great shout.
She looks good.
Yeah, she actually doesn't look like she's changed, to be honest with you. Maybe just a little bit, but she looks very similar, like the last 15 years.
I don't know, though. If you look at her from, like, her 20s to now, I'd pick now.
Okay, so what, Jenny from the block or Jenny from now?
Yeah.
Who are you going for?
Jenny from now.
Jenny from now.
Yeah.
See you later, Jenny from the block.
One who's kind of disappointed me in a way is Courtney Cox from Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because she, you know, she... her face doesn't move anymore.
It's very hard with, I think, the only Friends person who I'd say has remained in their, I don't want to say attractive ways. I'd say it's one man and one woman.
Well, definitely Jennifer Aniston.
It's Ross.
Has to be.
Oh, I forgot about Jennifer Aniston. I was going to say Lisa Kudrow. I was going to say David Schwimmer, but I was going to say Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow does still look pretty good.
Yeah.
But she was older. Like, yeah, she's older than all of them. So she gets props just for that.
Yeah.
How much older is she? I never knew that.
Not that much.
But she is. It makes
Courtney
a difference.
Cox is the oldest one. She's the second oldest, I believe. Is that correct? Or is that
I think it was.
I don't know.
The other way around.
Oh, is it? Oh,
possibly.
My apologies.
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
No, I think Lisa Kudrow is like the oldest.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
and then
Courtney Cox, I think.
Matt LeBlanc, he aged pretty bad with all his grey hair and everything.
Well, he decided just to let it happen, didn't he? I guess he also gained a bit of weight.
I don't think he looked
bad. Sure, fair play to him, in fact.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it could be worse considering the amount of drugs.
Hmm.
You know who? Robert Downey Jr. Oh, my God.
Better with age.
He is sexy. And he, I mean, the amount of drugs that he did.
Yeah.
The lifestyle he was living.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, you can see he has age, but he's in his 60s. But, and he's
imperfection.
Fine.
60s. Imperfection is good. You like a little bit of that.
Oh, he's,
you know.
He's, you
a little
at,
bit of crack's all right, yeah?
There's still time.
you look at his kid, and then you look at him, and it's like, hands down.
How old's Robert Downey Jr.'s kid?
I think he's like 18, 19. 20.
And we're booing this poor guy. You look nothing like your dad. But you're
poor
my
kid.
Age. Tough.
Poor kid. But yeah, and then you look at somebody like Charlie Sheen, it's just like, he aged like that.
Drugs
after
not doing
the drugs.
Well.
No.
Same with Eminem. He went, I'm not saying Eminem was necessarily a massively attractive person, but he's now not a massively attractive person.
Yeah.
But of course, that's also put down to the fact that he lost a lot of weight.
And he put on a lot of weight as well, didn't he?
Fluctuated.
And
I think that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you yo-yo kind of with your weight.
Mm. I just thought of an example of that. Val Kilmer. He was quite attractive in his younger days, but if you look at him now, it's just... he's completely unrecognizable.
There's that moment though with everyone where they're attractive and then all of a sudden it's just like, what happened?
It's weird, he's a good example of that. Steve Coogan's a good example for attractive as well again, because I don't think he was in any way attractive when he did the Alan Partridge stuff in the 90s.
Well,
now,
Alan Partridge certainly wasn't, for sure.
If you put on a 40-year-old's wig and put it straight into comb over, it was, looks a bit dodgy, doesn't it? But I think he's worked in The Trip to Italy as well, and some stuff he's doing nowadays in Philomena as well. I think he's bore out quite well.
Yeah.
It's funny people in general. I have such a weakness for comedians and... mm. Things like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I love Lee Mack. I'm very into Lee Mack.
He was on Anton Deck recently, and I sat there and went,
oh.
I don't know what it is. He's just so funny, and that makes such a difference.
Yeah.
He's daft enough not to take himself seriously.
Yeah.
And he does that sort of comedy where he likes to berate himself a little bit with himself, and that's what makes not going out so funny.
Mm.
The fact that him and his schoolmates are named after the professions they went into, so he speaks to tyres and Asda all the time and that sort of thing. It's like, yeah, I don't know. That's probably my personal opinion on Lee Mack. It's humour, but he's also not an unattractive man.
I think just with all of this, it's like made me come back, and it's made me think. I mean, obviously, Heath Ledger's passing was sad, and like, we wish it wouldn't have happened that way, no matter what. But I would love to see, like, you know, what he would have been like, what he would have looked like.
I think he would have gone on to be like a super duper top level elite actor.
Yeah,
I really do. That performance in Batman was just—it was ridiculous. It really blew me away. I never saw the cowboy movie, but I heard great things about that as well.
Oh my god, that.
I was not allowed to watch that as a child, for obvious reasons.
Why ever not?
But it was on Netflix for a while, and I always told myself, like, as I was like, I want to see that, because I heard, like, excellent things about it. My mom and my grandma went to go see it, and I was like, oh, I want to see it. But yeah, I watched it a couple years back. Oh my god, that movie was intense, but it was really good acting.
Mm.
Really good.
It was him and Jake Gyllenhaal up for Oscars for it, weren't they, as well? Yeah. And it was his wife as well, named that, Michelle Williams. Yeah. Michelle Williams?
No idea.
I want to say it's Michelle Williams.
Was it Anne Hathaway that was Jake Gyllenhaal's wife, or am I just, like, making things
in
up?
In the film or in life?
In the film.
Oh, right, then yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm not making that up.
No. Yeah. Although that would be a fantastic crossover of Brokeback Mountain and Princess Diaries.
She did well. I mean, that would have been a hard part to play on her end, because she knew, and she had to play that very critical.
I mean, she won an Oscar for her 12 minutes in Les Mis.
Yeah.
Did he actually ever win an Oscar?
Who?
He did, posthumously.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
For Dark Knight.
Okay.
Yeah. I sometimes question those wins.
I think a lot of people did.
Fantastic.
But at the same time, how can you not? Mm. Like, how could you pass him up?
Exactly.
Yeah. You would feel... Because it was a brilliant performance.
Mm. He was terrifying.
Yeah, and it cost him his life.
Yeah.
So that's...
What's the whole theory behind that then? Because I know, like, I'm pretty sure it's prescription drugs that killed him, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you know what they were?
He had to take, like...
Is it Xanax?
Different medications,
or?
Like antidepressants and things like that, because of the role.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he really immersed himself. Yeah.
Right, he kind
acting.
Of became the Joker, but it was too much for him. Mm-hmm. And so he started medicating, and there was just one time where I think it was a mix with alcohol and things like that, and it was just a bit too much.
Were any oxys involved? Do you have any idea? I'm just trying to think of what drug killed him.
I don't know, but I think it was all
just loads of everything.
Prescription drugs that he was on, and he just, because there's no confirmation that he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
The thinking is that he just accidentally took too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just that slight cross of the line. Like, he didn't mean to.
Yeah.
So that's...
Were one of the Olsen twins there, or like they were like really close with him, because they were involved in the police report and actually contacting the authorities.
Oh,
when
I
he
don't
went.
Remember that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not too sure which Olsen twin, but no.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, certainly so.
Very sad. But moving on to happier notes. There were so many great moments from A Knight's Tale that I miss.
Do you know what?
So
I'm going to share here, guys. It's pathetic. I actually tried to cover it up at one bit. But,
this is so nice.
When when he
Welcome
went and saw...
Welcome to the family, Ben.
When he came and saw his... What was it? His blind father.
Yeah.
And that whole moment happened.
I'm not even lying.
I welled up a little bit. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is A Knight's Tale. But my God, they're getting me.
I have a bad habit that when I see people cry, it makes me cry. More so in television and films than in real life. Sometimes I just get uncomfortable when someone I'm actually face to face with starts crying. If it's someone I know, then I start crying. But if it's someone I don't know, then I'm just kind of like, I don't know what I should be doing.
Yeah, I see other people cry, I don't necessarily cry. But if it's someone who's very close to me, you almost get a protection feel about you. I remember a friend of mine from school when she was about 16 or so got given an awful result for something that she had a huge passion in, and she got a bit of a not a turn off, but definitely an insult from the tutor. I remember her crying, just walking down like the corridor of the school. I remember her crying, and I remember going up to her and almost burst out in tears from that, because I didn't want to see her cry. I think that's a strong sense. I think that's something.
I think that's what it is, though, because you build an attachment. Mm. Like, yeah. You care about Heath Ledger's character, and you know, him being able to reconnect with his father.
Yeah, it's just making his dad proud. You know, it's a lot.
If his partner in film had cried at any point, I would have sat there and gone, well, you treated Heath Ledger's character.
That is so true.
Like, rubbish.
She was so frustrating.
Hey, I want you to lose. You can only have me
if you
lose.
Oh, no, wait. I want you to win.
And then it was really poor acting when she was, like, supposed to be, like, upset and, like, turn her face away. when she saw him get hit, but she kind of still had a smile on her face and was like, I can't look. And I was like, come on.
To be honest, having not seen it before, I was hoping he would end up with
the other girl,
who made his armor.
The
blacksmith. Come on. And he treated her so badly to begin with.
I was thinking about like halfway through the film, I was like, I feel like it would be a better film if he ended up with her instead of this
shallow
jerk of a girl.
I got a little message. I put out a little tweet saying I was watching. I got a little message saying, yes, though, and the word though is in capital letters, though I contend that the blacksmith would have been a better love interest by 1,000,000%.
There you go.
Whenever you say you're watching Knight's Tale, that's the first criticism that someone brings over.
I feel like they could have developed her character a bit more.
That's
she had a kind of depth to her that never really came out.
She was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could have been an asset. Mm. But overall, I feel like it was really good. Mm. One of my favorite scenes is when they first stumble across Geoffrey Chaucer and he's just like walking around naked and they're like, what are you doing?
Do you think he had a body double for that?
No.
No?
No.
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 It wasn't an overly attractive body.
Yeah, but maybe you wanted a not overly attractive body double.
And how high was his profile when he took that gig?
Any final thoughts on just hanging out, the film, anything that was brought up?
I really enjoyed hanging out with you guys. I've been looking forward to movie night for some time. Doing this is cool as well. So yeah, just more, please.
Yes.
More.
Yeah, it's a nice way to bond.
Yeah.
With the opportunity to use a fantastic room.
Yeah,
I don't see
a worse way of not using it. This is a series. Late Night with Burst, just kind of a chance for everyone to be able to hang out in our world and a chance for us to hang out. So yeah, there will be more movie nights. That'll be a regular occurring thing. The next one is Mean Girls.
Awesome.
So, but yeah, there'll be some other fun things. Like I'll plan some activities and different things just on different interests. And hopefully each time we'll get different groups of people that can come along and have chats. So,
oh, nice. Look forward to it.
It'll be good.
Give a round of applause for us.
Of course, definitely.
First team. Kieran's favourite thing.
One last
a round of applause.
Give a round of applause for Heath Ledger.
Oh, yes.
Well done, Heath.
I feel like we could just get like an I Heart Heath. We should just make I Heart Heath t-shirts. I'm going to go do that right now, actually. Bye.
Can we have a round of applause for the leading lady in the film?
No.
Well done. Thanks. I was actually going to cut them.
Yeah. What about the...
Sorry.
What about the Scottish lady?
The blacksmith?
Yeah.
Let's have a round of applause for the fair play.
Oh,
the true love story.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Actually, no, the true love story was between, what was the ginger character's name?
And Chaucer.
Yeah, and Chaucer.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
We're watching the same film. So many times throughout with Alan Tudyk, I just wanted to go, Steve the Pirate! From Dodgeball. Anyone seen Dodgeball?
I have seen Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm actually going to go home and watch Talladega Nights, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's
another modern day classic.
That is good.
Shake and Bake Baby.
That could be a movie night.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Something like that. I haven't seen Step Brothers either, so
I haven't seen that.
Oh, I think it might be on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
Oh, that could happen.
There we go.
I'd love to bring Galaxy Quest to the table as well. Has anyone seen Galaxy Quest?
I haven't.
I think so.
I'd be
I love Galaxy Quest more than members of my own family.
Wow.
It's such a great film.
Can I offer up Clueless? That is like potentially one of my favorite films.
Paul Rudd's in that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want Paul Rudd needs to do another role like that because he's amazing in that film. Sorry. Okay. Any other suggestions for a movie night?
That sounds like
Monty
loads.
Python.
Oh, nice.
I got it. I got your back.
Holy Grail, Life of Brian?
Ooh.
I would assume Holy not the
Grail.
Meaning of life.
Yeah. Holy Grail, it has to be.
It's, yeah.
I'm okay. Down.
Going with the knights theme.
Yeah. Any other requests for activities? Anybody got activities?
Crack night.
I'm going to just go ahead and say
just...
no.
Yeah.
On that
C-R-A-I-C.
One.
C-R-A-I-C.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That kind of great. Yeah.
Irish Human Night. Yeah, we watched Dara O'Brien and Ardo O'Hanlon.
Yeah.
I think something along the lines of Laser Quest would be quite good fun.
That could be good.
But that'd be hard to talk about because it'd just be me going, I remember when you guys all shot me and I wrote you out my
way. No, I'm really awful at it. So you just get a bunch of people that are really bad at it.
I'm extremely competitive at it.
Okay, so Sarah's going to win.
There we go.
We're going to lose.
Yeah, I don't think I've got the cardio for it.
We're probably going to get
wheezing in the corner.
It'd be rubbish in Zombieland.
I've played it like once and I did really well, but it was only because the girl that like headed up the thing felt bad for me, and she was like, so she would block me and then she'd be like, shoot that, you get extra points, shoot that, you get, and she just like walked me through the course, so I did really well. But yeah, it was the only reason.
I did it when I was about 15 or 16 with a local sort of youthy church group in my village at the time that I was part of, and the people actually sadly double booked us with an 8-year-old birthday party. So you can imagine what happened next. They doubled up the teams. They put all the teams who were going to be playing in the youthy church party against all the teams that would be playing in the 8-year-olds party. And somehow, we got our butts kicked by the 8-year-olds. Bad moment for Braden Methodist Church under 16.
That's all right. Well, it's been lovely hanging out with you guys.
I hope
to do it again soon. There'll be lots more of this kind of stuff coming up. Definitely more movie nights. More activities. It'll be good. But just thank you, and thanks everyone tuning in.
Thank you.
And thank you for organizing it. You put that together, so top girl.
Aw, thank you.
Round of applause for Alison.
Yeah.